Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand. Now, let your light shine. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and on today's podcast, I have a wonderful, brilliant woman by the name of Catherine Jansen Burkett, who has, she's got a master's in public health. She spent over a decade managing violence prevention and teen health programs, but over time, she experienced an inner stirring, as we sometimes get those, don't we? And what ensued was a process of reflection, curiosity, and ultimately trust as she dove into her current career as a licensed professional counselor. And she's following in the footsteps of her father, so that's pretty cool. He was also a therapist, so she's been spending 15 years in private practice, offering not only holistic psychotherapy, but retreats and workshops as well. And if that isn't enough, she's also an author. She recently published her first book, River to Ocean, Living in the Flow of Wakefulness. And it's about the human voyage of finding your way to an awakened self. So I love how she is an amazing person who's doing lots of cool things in her life. And I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more. I'll let her maybe talk a little bit more about the book in a little bit. But first off, I just want to welcome you to Live, Love, Engage, Catherine. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for all of those kind words, Gloria. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, well, me too. It's we're living in some interesting times, aren't we? As I'm recording this, this is the middle of April. I can't believe it is the middle of April already, 2020. And we're dealing with this wonderful, she says in air quotes, pandemic that I like to refer to as an opportunity instead of the crisis, like so many people like to call it. So I'm holding the belief that it is offering us an opportunity. But for a lot of people, though, they're dealing with a lot of uncertainty and fear and certainly loss regarding this. So what do you recommend? How do you recommend people deal with that in what we're going through right now?
Well, there are so many different experiences around this, just even in my private practice, much less in my personal life, and even for me personally, actually. So I love the frame that all things are opportunity, and importantly, for some people, it really is a crisis that they need to work through to be able to experience the opportunity. For example, people that have jobs can feel like, I should be grateful. I shouldn't be feeling a sense of loss. I don't have as much uncertainty as someone else. So I think my first piece always is to meet ourselves where we are. And that's the beginning, not the kind of that final stop. And when we do that through some practices in terms of working with fear and in terms of working with grief, then I think we can move through this to a place where we can experience also the good, and we can be curious about actually the opportunities that are present for us. It also, just to speak to, you know, this pandemic came quickly. It came on the heels for many people of other uncertainty, of loss they were already experiencing. So it's not like everybody started out like super, you know, everybody was resourced or in a great place in their life. And mm-hmm. so I think that's important to note. And that's why it's important to meet ourselves where we are as we move through this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was actually telling my husband this morning, I said, you know, this is going to be something that people are going to be dealing with for a very long time. And there really is, I mean, this in a way is sort of leading to sort of a mental health crisis, because even, you know, especially for people who are suffering from, who may be suffering from depression or something anyway, to have this exacerbated, and then people who are just happy, you know, but it's still then, you know, it's tough. And then there's all this social distancing, which I hate that phrase. put on their physical distancing. I'm like, yes, why do we call it that instead? I love that better.
But, yes.
How do we
exactly?
How do we stay connected to one another when we're supposed to stay 6 feet apart? And all of
exactly. I think it's a good question. And you know, probably 4 weeks ago, it was one thing. I think it's, you know, we're in a little bit of a long game, not such a short game as some thought in the beginning. So that's, again, a way we need to not power through. So, for example, some people are loving Zoom, what we're doing. Right. It's new. It really helps. But then they're getting now a little burnt out on Zoom. So it's staying creative about even what we do as we connect. But it is essential because the idea, isolation, of course, is a precursor for depression. And so those that are feeling symptoms of some level of depression, that's absolutely understandable. So, you know, we have this instinct as humans when we're going through something hard to gather, but we've actually literally been told to scatter. Yeah. And so it's, it couldn't be more important. And especially for people that were alone already or feeling lonely already and didn't have a strong support network, and they were kind of banking on some of those smaller, you know, pieces of connection through talking to somebody, you know, without a mask at a grocery store, not super, you know, far away, or waving to a neighbor on the path that they're not walking any longer. I would offer also, Gloria, that we can be connected to ourselves. I always think of life as, you know, we have relationship to other, but we can have an active and loving relationship to self. So this is an opportunity to kind of deepen that process of starting every day with your own good morning and that feeling like an actual felt experience of connection and less aloneness. And then again, kind of reaching out through, I'm recommending maybe 2 to 3 contacts a day for people. It can be phone, it can be a distance kind of engagement, you know, kind of, activity. Mm-hmm. And certainly, again, things like this, like Zoom. Yeah. What are you doing to stay tethered to others, if I could ask?
One thing, I do go out for a morning walk every day, and there are usually some of my neighbors are out as well. And I've definitely seen new people that I haven't seen in the past, you know, because they're like walking dogs and things. And so waving hi. And then actually a friend of mine yesterday, she hosted a virtual cocktail party because she's like, you know, I'm tired of everything being, you know, there's so many like Zooms for like learning and things like that, which is great.
Yeah.
Doing classes. And she's like, I just want to have fun. Let's dress up.
Exactly. And I'm actually, because the shelter at home is also how to have, protect the quality and health of the relationships with those we live with. So even for couples that are living together, I'm encouraging them to dress up, go to another room, and still have date night. because I think that's part of how to deal with uncertainty, is to really go into what's familiar. There's so much of life that is still very solid, and we need to find our feet. Maybe it's that connection you have with your animal, or feeling spring that is just like the springs we've had so many times. That's really regulating for the nervous system and goes a far distance. So I love hearing that. Yes, having fun and again being creative about, you know, people are doing charades on Zoom. They're telling stories. Book clubs are happening.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, actually, my son is in Virginia right now. So we did a couple of weeks ago, we played Scattergories over Zoom.
There you go.
And it worked out fine. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's right. There's also, to mention this, just because not everybody gets obvious to be in the role of a therapist. So normally I don't do home visits. So the really beautiful thing that I would not have ever predicted 5 weeks ago, because I was not doing a lot of Zoom sessions, I had done a few for long distance clients, is the intimacy involved. Mm-hmm. Like I'm seeing a little bit of your space, which get to do in this way. And so there's also, for some people, because I lean in and I'm really trying to be with in a way that transcends technology, a stronger connection. Mm-hmm. And so for some, it's you know, less than ideal, and they need to kind of monitor how much, because it just feels so different, and that's then more loss for them to contend with. But there has been this really sweet, I feel like I'm on a real estate tour with some of my clients. I'm like, and then they need to move rooms because the Wi-Fi is not working. So then I get to see all the pictures on the stairwell, which is awesome.
That is something to contend with. I know. Yes, thankfully, ours is behaving itself right now. But I know when you were talking earlier, and it got me thinking about, I know when you were talking about kind of looking inward a bit. Mm-hmm. And so part of that, one of the things, I'm a very spiritual person, and I definitely, I think one of the possible benefits that could come from this is that we are having to maybe spend time going within a little bit, maybe spending some time in, you know, mm-hmm. quiet, even just, you know, mm-hmm. sitting outside, looking at the trees, you know, maybe not necessarily a regular full meditation practice. But is there a way that you see this pandemic as a way to look at it from a sort of spiritual perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's even the premise of my book, because it was about kind of the hills and valleys. I'd never gone through a pandemic, but at 16, I attempted suicide and had, you know, lots of struggles. Mm. So it is to find the connection to our spirituality within our circumstance, not transcendent of it. That's just a huge passion I have. And so I think there is that opportunity. And when I teach mindfulness, one of the things about mindfulness that a lot of people don't know the full definition is mindfulness, being fully present in the moment, accepting what is. Well, if I've been avoiding what is, when I sit in that garden and hear those birds, it's not necessarily Zen. It's actually a lot of stuff falls off the shelf. Some stuff I've been avoiding. It could be childhood trauma. It could be that I'm actually very unhappy in my relationship. It could be that I haven't been taking care of my body and my body is beginning to talk to me. So I think the opportunity, and it's, you know, it's the hero's journey, is to quiet and to listen. And then to really be open to, curious about what we hear. And so for some people, this is going to be, serve as a wake-up call to their lives. Whether it's self-care practices, whether there are relational things to contend with, whether it's, I hate the idea of going back to my job, even though I'll be glad to have work. Right. Well, wow, what would that be? So I feel like, you know, my experience of spirituality is it's in everything, less a God out there. And so I think within our life, that those truths are bubbling up through a situation like this. Mm. So I think it's a powerful time for that. You know, and when we grow, including kind of spiritual growth, doesn't always mean it's easy or fun, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Growing pains comes from growth. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. They don't call them growing pains for nothing, do they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot, I hear disillusionment about the system. You know, how many, you know, I can't get into the unemployment, you know, phone queue. And so then it also is, what are we leaning on? What are those deep, deep things that don't change, regardless of what's happening globally or in the human condition and such? So it kind of forces us in a way, because the pandemic has stripped away the veneer a bit. Mm. And ultimately, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I
think so too. I mean, I'm choosing to see this as... I was like calling this even a couple of weeks ago, that I think that we're going to look back on this time as a time of great awakening, because mm-hmm. I think it really is giving us an opportunity to see, you know, what is it that I truly value, and what is really most important in my
yes.
life. And I think people are
yes.
saying, you know, it's really still comes back to family, you know, it's the relationships with ourselves, with
yes.
each other.
Yes. I have an interesting story. A few of my clients are actually really glad for shelter at home, because it is such a focus, and it's like this permission mm-hmm. to, whether it's about being a little bit of an introvert, now everybody's like on my team and that
right.
feels good, or
yeah.
that I get to slow down, and they're actually, their loss is going to be when things get back to normal.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. So we are having conversations about, you don't have to get back on all the horses.
Mm.
Like, you get to really, now Now, that may not be like you can just kind of give notice that there may be a process involved, but I love your words that this is really a time of awakening. And sometimes wake-up calls come in dramatic moments. Sometimes they're subtle, and they're just as transformative. And the sense of this maybe transcends for some the politic that has been going on in our particular country, that this is global. This is global, and there's some kind of unifying, leveling the playing field around that that I have personally felt like disheartened with the state of affairs, and so that heartens me in terms of those things that we're seeing. You know, when Italians are singing with and for each other, and just sharing those videos around the world, we are so not alone. Yeah. You know,
that's it. Yeah, we absolutely are. I mean, they. You know, because they've always said that, you know, the internet has made us more connected than ever. And yet so many people were alone. And it's sort of, okay, this is sort of heightened that in a way too. But at the same time, we do have, I mean, for any time to this to have happened, we do have the benefit now. I mean, compared to, you know, hundreds of years ago when people, you know, went through, you know, the flu and stuff.
Right,
we have
the
benefit of technology where we can.
Yes.
Stay in touch with people from around the world.
Yes. It's kind of like anything where we have a story about it. And then it's like, you know, it's like, oh, the internet and, you know, social media. And, you know, I think it has to have a very, very thoughtful place in our lives. But yes, where would we be without it? So again, it's kind of waking up to the gift of many things in right relationship to those things, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. One of the things you talk about is, and which we've kind of been, I guess, talking a little bit about, but you refer to it as the awakened self. So what do you mean by how to live as your most awakened self?
Well, and this is kind of why I ended up writing the book, because I felt so strongly that my own personal journey, I couldn't just do one thing. I was 200 pounds. That was not my normal body. That was just a response to trauma and then the suicide. So my journey to wellness and wholeness and literally just a survivorship was about different aspects of navigating the human journey. So I had to have a relationship with myself, and I had to know my worth as intrinsic and not conditional. I had that until my father, I love him dearly. He's passed and we worked it all out, but he left in a really traumatic way at 14. So it shattered my sense of self. It shattered the sense that I was good enough to keep a father in our family. Mm-hmm. And so it was so much about those building blocks. So, I'm a therapist. So part of it is I can't be my children's. I have six kids. I can't be their therapist. So I wanted to offer what I have, but also to clients and to others. So like freedom from the mind is a relationship to self, freedom from the mind. I put a chapter in there about cherishing the body. I believe we need to contend with mortality. So I put an aspect in there about embracing death and dying, which is like embracing, you know, that alone is really almost triggering for people. Mm-hmm. I do a ton of relationship work. So I have an aspect on conscious relationship, because again, I had a lot of relationships in my life, but I was not, you know, truly living my most conscious self. I had a temper. I would easily kind of rage. I didn't get that. So to me, our awakened self is fully present in the moment with what is, relaxed, which means we're working for some of us with our anxiety, right? Our nervous system, connected deeply to myself. And that's about, again, kind of a self that has worth innately. Mm-hmm. It is self-loving, not an ego self where I'm competing, and connected to the whole, however people define that. So maybe they go sit in nature and that's the whole. They're part of, or quantum physics kinds of stuff, whatever that is for folks. So that's my overall kind of definition of an awakened self.
Mm, love it. We have a lot of similarities, not direct, but it's like, yeah, there's some, a little bit in how, what I've dealt with and what I've gone through in my own life as well.
Yeah.
I'm blessed now to have gone through, you know, I can look back at some of the traumatic events and things that happened in my life and now I can look at it like, you know, well, it was tough to go through, and I'm also glad because it has made me who I am today. And I know now I've learned how to be able to manage things better.
Work with that, right. And I don't know if you probably are familiar with the term spiritual bypass. And so my practice does attract, because I am, you know, spiritually oriented, though I do regular psychotherapy and, you know, that isn't a requirement. That it's kind of like, I want to bypass all that hard stuff, and that spiritualizing our life or over positivity is actually a defense. And so to really undo aloneness by saying one neural pathway at a time, one moment at a time, we're going to move through what happened, right, so that then by moving through it and healing it, that's how we transcend it. And so that's been just exciting to see people kind of circle back to some of those old traumas and losses, not to stay stuck there at all or to have a story, but actually to be able to move into the spirituality, the felt sense of their own spiritual life that they intend, that they would want.
Yeah, that's good. And yeah, I think that's going to be something that is going to be, a lot of people are going to be having to do as we go through this time. And, it's good to know that there are folks out there like you who can help them, because I know I've definitely had a lot of help in my life, especially the last, say, 5 years or so.
And yeah,
difference in my perspective. So, is there anything else that maybe related to, you know, we kind of touched on relationships earlier. What are maybe like the most important relationship practices that people should consider doing now and probably still even in the future as well?
Yeah, I love that you say that. This is not just like pandemic informed. Like this is how we have to get through this. This is actually all about it. There's nothing new under the sun, but it's like, oh, but I'm not doing that. Yeah. And in fact, those of us that have, it's more challenging in these times, because remember, we are all in some level of a trauma experience, and that's not to be dramatic, but it is the felt sense of endangerment. Not that it's you are endangered, but this fear of endangerment and a sense of helplessness. Yeah. All I can do, I can wear a mask, I can do these things, but I cannot guarantee my safety. Yeah. And so those two things together means that we are not necessarily our most relaxed and nourished and, you know, right, they call it ventral vagal state. Yeah. And so given that, we are more easily provoked. We are more fatigued, you know, and then there's just no escaping a kind of quantity of contact, that quality then goes out the window. So I think a real basic one that I needed to learn myself, so I will be transparent about that, is just to make sure that we're regulating our emotions. That doesn't mean repressing them. That just means if I'm watching myself get upset or activated, as I would call it, whether that's driven by anxiety or anger, that I don't engage until that neurotransmitter in my brain has settled down. I still will probably speak about the thing I'm upset about, but it's really important to come to another in a non-activated and in a regulated state. Otherwise, they're probably not going to listen. Their nervous system is going to go off the rails because their nervous system is talking to my nervous system.
Yeah, and it doesn't work.
I would also offer that if you don't have conscious communication practices, I have some in the book. Nonviolent communication is a great also body of work. It is to, you know, use I statements. It is to practice empathy. It is to give benefit of the doubt. It is to make sure we're not making assumptions. You know, that great book, The Four Agreements, that's one of the agreements, is not to make assumptions. Like, that goes a huge, like, hey, this is what's going on. You've been really quiet. I'm kind of scared that maybe you're mad at me, but I'm just checking in with you about that.
Yeah.
So those, and then I just think we need autonomy. And so literally for some people, that means they're just sitting in the car, listening to some music here, like just some breathing room.
Yeah.
And like we were speaking earlier, that you and your husband might still have a date night, Saturday night, tomorrow night, you might go do something special and keep the specialness there. Yeah. Because, you know, just this kind of, again, exposure to so much time, it's like we don't really see each other in the magnificence that we all are.
Yeah.
And so to really be diligent and intentional about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's what comes to mind.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Whoops. My phone mm-hmm. is making noises over there. I creating some sense of normalcy, at least in small doses,
mm-hmm.
is definitely healthy for us, certainly right now. And then in the future, because there will always be something. I mean, that's the one thing mm-hmm. we can count on in life is that life is change. and if it's not going to be this, it's going to be something else.
That's right. And there's that adage, is it happening to me? Mm. Is it happening through me, or is it happening for me? Mm. And we need to move that dial so that even if I can't control all the things, and we do have an illusion of control, that's the thing right. about uncertainty, is we actually deal with uncertainty all the time, because you and I, Gloria, don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now.
That's right.
But we have not dealt with it at this level with a sense of endangerment, a new thing, right? Like almost a predator, the COVID virus. And so we need to just kind of remember that we have resilience within us mm-hmm. That is going to serve us so well in times where there is uncertainty. And then if it's through me, I'm working with it. If it's for me, then that's when I start to see the gifts. Like, what an opportunity. And self-care, I would just throw in also that even though self-care is not relational in the way other than to self, if I'm taking good care of myself and you and I are roommates or sisters or partners, that's going to help me bring myself at best to the table.
Yeah.
And that's always a thing, not just in a pandemic. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to take care of yourself, because that's the only way you can take care of anyone else.
Right.
So.
That's right. It's like that oxygen mask thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Well, I have really enjoyed talking with you.
Lots me too.
Of information from you. If someone wants to be able to, you know, reach out to you, maybe learn more about what you do, learn more about the book, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Well, I can tell you my website, and that's how to get a hold of me just in terms of reaching out. HarborGlowHolistic.com. So that's the website, and that's where you can actually buy the book from me directly if you want an autographed copy. But if you also want to just go online, we have it on ebook, we have it in libraries, and then we have it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Pals.com is a great one. It's a local fantastic bookstore in Portland, Oregon that I'm really proud of. And eventually New Leaf, which is a new age distributor of books too, which has got in there. So, and then excitingly, we're working on the audiobook. So that hasn't happened yet, but
I know I'm listening. One thing I've been doing is on my walks is listening to books. Mm. So
yeah. Exactly. Well, come to find out, you have to audition to read your own book. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. You're kidding. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Wow.
Which is, you know, I didn't even know what to do with that. But and it's like, well, will it be a woman reading this book? That would be important. But you get to pick if you're the author. Who doesn't, if you don't want to narrate it yourself? But yeah, you actually have to audition, and they decide if you've got, you know, the right voice for the voice in the book. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, I have heard certain people's voices in the past, and sometimes I would think I may not want to listen to a whole book.
That's right. That's
right. Even though they're lovely people, and you know,
exactly. Maybe a professional voice would have been somebody who does this for a living. Yeah. Would have been exactly.
Exactly.
Well, I wish you very well yourself personally, and all your listeners to be well, be safe, be kind, take good care. Yeah. And again, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being here. And for all of you who are listening and watching, if you want to make sure that you stay tuned and be able to hear future episodes like this, make sure that you are subscribed to Live, Love, Engage on your podcast platform. That's what I'm trying to say, of your choice. Or you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is Gloria Rand Video. And until next time, I encourage you all to, despite what's going on, you can still do this. Live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Information about children with this disease is limited, but they are known to have had mild symptoms. Many organizations are responding accordingly, depending upon their area. It's best to stay home and away from others, especially when sick, and continue following healthy hand wash guidelines, covering mouth and nose and not touching your face or high-touch surfaces. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces regularly, and for more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.